be here this morning. I've been a Christian since I was 19 years old when I was in the Navy. Well, I was brought up in church and Sunday school, but I didn't really get saved till I was 19 years old in a deep sea diving rig in the Navy in Bayonne, New Jersey. Put on a 200-pound rig, belt 65 or 85 pounds, breast and helmet 54 pounds, shoes at 35 pounds a pair. And they have to find out if you have a thing called claustrophobia in the Navy as a diver. So they put you down to 60 feet of water to 6 feet of mud. We had 25 fellows in our class. Three of them had claustrophobia, and they didn't even get to the bottom. But in that dark, murky harbor water, Bayonne, New Jersey, which is New York Harbor, too, is South Shore, they put you down 60 feet of water, six feet of mud, and actually sink right over your head in mud. And that's where I got saved. New York Harbor was my baptistry that day, I guess. But I thank God for that experience because I went down a lost and condemned sinner, a first-class sinner, came up a sinner saved by grace. And I said, I want to be converted. And the Lord just led me along all these days, been in the ministry now all these years. I'm 75 years old, but I'd rather, wear out than rust out. So it's really great to be here. Our pilot is here, Steve Inlow. He's an excellent pilot. And Gladys is here. She's from down in Alabama. And a wonderful kind of grandma to the kids. No, my wife didn't leave me or divorce me. She just took a little vacation and went with her family to Washington, D.C. Her oldest nephew is a former resident at Peniel. Now he's a federal bank examiner. When he came to Peniel, if he told you the sun was out, you better check, because he'd lie about anything. But he got Jesus in his heart. He got to work, just had Jesus written all over him. And now he's a bank examiner, and he's over six states. He's a bank examiner's bank examiner. And so he goes to Washington often, and he's got his own apartment there. And so the whole family on there, my wife's side, and went with him to Washington, D.C. and stayed in the apartment there. But just really a fruit of the ministry, and it's amazing how God changes lives. I should have retired 10 years ago, but I see all of the fruit of the ministry and see people go from crime to Christ. Go from every kind of depression and sadness and every way that the devil has beat them down and beat them down. Kids will come, the parents will say, I hate my own child. I hate my kid. I hate the ground he's walking on. So I'm just, I don't even want to come in my house again. Because they've been just into so much sin and disgrace and causing problems, serving that old devil. But to have them to come into the home and sometimes get them out of jail, sometimes get them out of mental institution. Got a new boy coming another week, 2 weeks, something like that. And just will not listen. He's running the show at his house. So it's great to have a ministry where you can take young people that are suffering and in a nightmare of sin and under the torment of the devil and see them come to Christ and be saved. In Revelation chapter 12, verses 1 through 6, we read about why we're in such a predicament as mankind. Revelation 12, verses 7 through 12. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels, and prevailed not, neither was their place found anymore in heaven. And that great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceived the whole world. That's why there's so much rebellion in our society, so much crime, violence, immorality, because the devil has deceived the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. That's the demons. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. That's the people suffer. They haven't got time for church. They just want to go on suffering because they don't know any better. But to invite them to come into church into this beautiful place and hear the word of God, I mean, one trip in here should be enough to save them all. It's so beautiful. But they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, the Jesus Christ, and his shed blood. Jesus dying on the cross for our sins, for the remission of sins, the removal of sin. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. So it's great to be with you all today, and I'm going to call on the young people now to come. We're going to sing for you. We've had the home for 38 years now, Peniel Christian School. We get the name Peniel from Genesis chapter 32 and verse 30, where it says, and Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, for I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. And that's what we want for the children.
Thank you.
for the gospel today, I'd like to read from the gospel of Luke chapter 10, verse 25 and on. Behold, a certain, shall we rise and for the reading of God's word? Shall we rise? Out of respect for God's word. And I read in Jesus' name. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And he said unto him, What is written in the law? How readest thou? And he answering said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And he said unto him, Thou hast answered right, do this, and thou shalt live. Here ends the reading of the word of God. Shall we unite our hearts in prayer? Father, we thank thee for the blessing of being here in divine presence this morning. What a blessing it is to come to church and to hear the beautiful music and to hear the spoken word. Help us never to take it for granted, Lord, but to pray for pastor as he leads the flock in this house of prayer, and pray for his family, who I've my own experience found that the devil just wanted to take you over the coals all the time. And so, Lord, pray. We need to pray for leaders, and that Lord, you would protect us from the devil, and that we could have life and have it more abundantly. Lord, we thank you for dying on the cross for our sins, so we could come into to glory, into the gates of splendor someday, and be blessed, Lord, with eternal life, because Jesus Christ made the way. And so we thank and praise you, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
You may be seated. When I got to walking with the Lord, folks, I thank God for Christian parents, because I could miss public school on Monday, but there's no missing the church and Sunday school on Sunday. And they showed us children the importance of being in church. We need church. People need the Lord, and we need to be in church every Sunday. I got born again when I was 19 years old in the Navy, and I vowed to the Lord I'll never miss church again. And I never have on Sunday morning. But to go to church at times when I never didn't feel like going to church at night, sometimes I would make excuses, but then I'd always remember, I'm going to go anyway and always get blessed. And to see the goodness and all the blessings that come from being a Christian and following the Lord's way. You know, the Lord created us to have a free will. I love my wife. When I met her, I was head over heels in love with her. I was going to church all the time, got to be 29 years old and still wasn't married. My mother started worried all the time that I was going to run off and get married when I was younger. But then when I got older, she figured I'm never going to get married. And my dad, too. I heard her talk on the phone one time saying, I don't think you'd ever get married. I don't think he loves anybody but himself. But, you know, I was praying for I said, Lord, I'm so tired of this single life. Couldn't you help me find a nice way? And we had a service down at the Bowery in Duluth. It was the 4th of July, and the church pastor said to me, Ken, could you go down there? Everybody else has got plans for the 4th of July. Could you go down to the mission there, Union Mission, Union Gospel Mission, and have the service? And so I did, because I always determined I'm never going to say no to the Lord. I'm always going to be, yes, Lord. Whatever you say, yes, Lord. I'll do it, Lord. Yes, Lord. And the Lord never makes it too hard. Sometimes you think, well, I'm just buried in work. But you know, the Lord got the strength and gives us the leading and gives us all the power that we need to do His work and His will, no matter how tired we are in this old body. And boy, I had a heart attack 3 years ago, and this old body gets mighty tired many times. But so I went down there anyway, even though I had plans and for fireworks and you know all that goes. That was at Duluth, Minnesota. And so I went down there and preached a message. I'd been a Sunday school teacher, and I didn't really know how to preach, but I went down there anyway and had an evangelistic service and message. And one man came forward at the end of the service, Matthew Hawkins. I prayed for him every day since that day. And I believe I'll meet Matthew Hawkins in heaven someday. But you know, 2 weeks later, here come my sweetheart up the church steps. The girl of my dreams. I just, you know, loved that girl and everything about her. And we've had a wonderful marriage for the last 44 years. And so the Lord blessed it. But it was the way, you know, to do things for the Lord and to go out of your way, and things sometimes it's too hard, just do it anyway, and you get blessed. And that's how I really believe the Lord answered my prayer when I went down to that Bowery that Friday night, and 2 weeks my wife was there. 5 weeks, 5 months of romance, and got her up to the altar. Been happily married ever since. But it's really a blessing. But, you know, the Lord loves us, and He wants what good for us. Many times we think God's mad at me. No, the devil's mad at you. The devil's mad at you because you're in church this morning. He's the one that gave us the bad time. God loves us. David, he was into all kinds of sin. He had committed adultery. He had committed murder. He had his best soldier murdered, Uriah. And he prayed the prayer of Psalm 51. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. And David was forgiven and became the apple of God's eye. And God loves you. He cares about you. He's interested in everything that we do. You know, when I had my boys were young and little babies lay in the crib, I used to like to go in there and creep in there at night quietly and look at their little faces. Such a beautiful picture of peace. I thank the Lord for the little children and pray that you watch over them, keep them safe. Now they're 45 years old. But I had all this gray hair worrying about them. But that was foolish too. But I didn't love them, so I love to go in there at night and look at their face and just see how beautiful they were and how much love I had in my heart for my children. God loves to look at your face. He loves to look at your face in the moonlight because He loves you so much. He wants what's best for you. That old devil comes along. We let him get a foothold in there sometimes because of our dirty old sin that we won't let loose of. But we got to drop those chains of sin and look to Jesus and, Lord, have mercy on me according to your loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before thee. Against thee, thee only, have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and be pure when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward part, and the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, cover me with your blood, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones that thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sin, and blot out all mine iniquity. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. That was David's prayer. That was the first part of it. And many times I recite that. Sometimes I can't sleep at night. Maybe I'm excited about something or worried about something. The old devil won't give you any rest, but you can always rest in the Lord because we're under his blood. But that prayer, and then anytime any kind of bad thoughts come in, I read that next part of the prayer, Lord, create in me a clean heart, O God. Lord, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me, the Holy Spirit. In Jesus Christ, in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And we have life and health and strength in Jesus. My aunt in St. Paul, she had some land that she acquired. Her husband left her. She had this farm, 40 acres, out on the Ramsey County line. It's all built up in apartments and everything now. But she had this 40 acres, a small farm. And her neighbor lady had 40 acres too. She had come over from the old country. And she and her husband, they lived this real primitive sort of existence. They pumped their own well water. They had all kinds of, they had a slop pail out on the back porch, you know, and all that. The old phones would ring and different things like that. And her husband died. And then one day some real estate came to my aunt and to this lady and offered to buy the farms. They were going to buy the 80 acres, 40 from my aunt, 40 from this lady. And they paid them something like $60,000 apiece, which would be like $120,000 now with inflation and all. So a lot of good money. And my aunt took the money and she used it and had a good, comfortable life. Bought herself a new car and everything. The other lady, she didn't cash the check. She went right on living in this hard way. And you say, well, geez, what a foolish woman. We're just the same when we don't really dedicate ourselves to serving Jesus and to realize that all the blessings, every blessing that Jesus had, every blessing we have is right in the front pocket of Jesus. Every good and gracious gift cometh down from the Father of lights. When I went into the ministry, I gave up airplanes and horses to go into ministry. When I got out here on the farm, people started giving us horses. Next thing I know, I got 20, 36 head of horses out there, mostly that people gave to us. Just had 8 more horses given to us. And one day a lady called up and said, what would you be needing out here? I said, well, I'm looking at an old airplane. Well, that's a poor airplane. Just why don't you buy this other one? It's the same kind of airplane that John F. Kennedy Jr. got killed in. He paid $400,000 for his. We got a Cherokee 6 for free. I mean, you cannot beat serving the Lord. And to dedicate our lives. Lord, here am I. Ain't much, but use me just the same, please. You know? And sometimes it seems so hard, you know. But it's really the easy way. It's the good way. Well, I don't regret the life we've had out here, although it's been very hard at times. State come after us and several times threatened to put me in jail, my wife in jail, the kids in foster homes. And don't get me wrong, I'm all for anybody who's helping children. But they just wouldn't leave us alone. Well, the Lord kind of blessed that and make my son assistant district attorney now. Up in Hudson. They're real good to us now. But he's a real good boy, and I just thank God for him too, a very fine Christian young man. But you know, to serve the Lord and to walk in his way, it's kind of like, you know, when you get born again, it's like the Bible compares us to two kinds of trees. The Green Bay tree and the palm tree. It's in the Bible. The Green Bay tree is hard. It's a worthless tree. It's down in the swamp is where they grow. They spread out their leaves so none of the other plants around them can grow. Take up all the sunlight. They're so hard that if you tried to cut it up for firewood, you'd wear out the chainsaw. And it's just like iron, practically, the wood. And that's the way the Lord pictures a lot of people to be without the Lord, without Jesus in our heart. Jesus helps us to be kind and loving and good and sharing everything we have with others. But the Lord also compares a Christian to the palm tree. It's a beautiful tree, provides shade. If you plant a palm tree in the desert, they say it'll bring up water and you have an oasis. The bark is good for medicine, the roots are good for medicine. That's where some of the tranquilizers come from, I understand. It's a beautiful tree, and it's a soft wood, especially good for carving. You go down the Caribbean and you'll see a lot of these people, they whittle little souvenirs and they sell them. That's how they make their living, wood from the palm tree. Palm tree is 100% good. That's the way Christians ought to be. And I know from knowing many of you in this church that there's many people like the palm tree in this church. And so I thank God for you, dear people. Well, I see time is going on here. Just, you know, like the hymn writer wrote, living for Jesus, a life that is true, striving to please him in all that we do, yielded allegiance, glad-hearted and free. This is the pathway of blessing for me. O Jesus, Lord and Savior, I give myself to thee, for thou in thine atonement didst give thyself for me. I own no other master. My heart shall be thy throne. My life I give henceforth to live, O Christ, for thee alone. I remember back when I was 21 years old, just out of the Navy, I went to work for the Burroughs Corporation, and I'll close with this now. And I like to wear nice clothes. 21 years old, you know, a young fella. And I get the finest suits in town. And they had a big contest at the Burroughs Corporation. Whoever would win this contest get $500 reward. I worked hard and I sold all over the place everywhere I could. Probably put too much pressure on somebody more than I should have, but I sold a lot of stuff. And I won the $500, got my name on the front of the National Burroughs paper and all. And but during that time, I saw an article in my church that showed where people were starving in Africa. I had a nice cocoa brown suit all picked out. And I'm going to buy that, had the necktie and everything to go with it. And I won the contest. But during that time, the Lord, the Holy Spirit laid on my heart to help those poor people suffering that don't have enough to eat. And so I did. I said, I'm going to give this money to the World Relief. And instead of buying a suit, I said, I got 7 suits. I don't need another one anyway. But guess what? 2 weeks later, my brother-in-law's dad, his uncle, was a car dealer down in Waterloo, Iowa. He said, my uncle gave me this beautiful suit. He said, too small for me. Maybe you could wear it. You looked at it. Guess what color it was? Cocoa brown. But instead of a two-piece, it was a three-piece. And it was just like gold in that. It was imported fabric from over in Ireland. I let my friend use it to go to his little child's funeral because he said, I don't have a suit. I know you like suits. He said, I wonder if I could borrow a suit. So I said, I got just one for you. Three people. And he said after the funeral, when he came to give it back, he said, if I had a suit like this, it'd be very hard for me to take it off again. It's so beautiful. So you see, you can't be giving to the Lord. He's got a bigger shovel than we have. Do you know that we are supposed to give 10% of what comes into us to the Lord? 10% doesn't even belong to us. And so, you know, we really need to try our best to tithe. People come and say, maybe the wife will come and say, hey, we can't afford it. We can't afford not to tithe. That's a way to have the pathway of blessing open the gates of heaven to provide all of your needs. When I started tithing, I woke up, had $270,000 worth of debt. I woke up one day and I'm debt free. Just because I started tithing. Miracles started to happen. And there's no telling where it's going to come to an end. I mean, I still got maybe 10 years to go yet. My dad lived to be 85. Maybe I'll make 85 too. Bless his soul, he's in heaven with the Lord right now, and my mama too. So what a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what need we often forfeit. Oh, what pain we, oh, what need we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. What a friend. What a beautiful friend. And he loves us. He loves you for being here in church today. He will make your week better this week. Shall we pray? Father in heaven, we thank thee for all the good things you give to us day by day. We don't deserve it. But Lord, you protect us. Save us from that old dirty devil. Save our loved ones from when we pray for them every day. Bless, Lord, each one in divine worship this morning. Bless Pastor and the families thereof having vacation rest time. Bless Melody. Now be coming back today. Be home when I get there, I hope, anyway. And so, Lord, we just have so much to be thankful for. Help us to count our blessings. Help us to be kind, and like as the scripture said, to do unto others as we would have them do unto us. Just because we do good works is not going to get us to heaven. I don't do good works, Lord, you know, to get saved. I do good works because I am saved. And so, Father, just help us to be loving Christians and to be like the palm tree, good for everything, everything. And so bless us now then, Father, and God be with us till we meet again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, we were in seminary. Donald, you might grab the piano. When we were in seminary, we had to write a hymn. You could use any song you wanted to. Martin Luther said, why let the devil have all the good tunes? And so we had to write a hymn. So I'd like to sing that for you this morning because it's my personal testimony. I don't sing as good as these guys, but maybe get the message. It's my personal testimony. Jesus, the lover of my soul, divine, I claim your promises and you are mine. You gave your life to save my soul from sin. Now I have peace and calm and joy within. I never knew what life could be till I gave my heart to thee. Now you're mine forever, hoping, dreaming, caring, sharing, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Today, Jesus, my life's complete in every way. I've got a mansion now at home, and my heart will never roam. Won't you take him for your own?